Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by visiting IMSAradio.com or search for IMSA Radio wherever they get their podcasts.
Give you a quick rundown. VP Racing Fuels updates with an hour completed, starting at the top of the shop and the front of the field, because they've all completed at least a round of pit stops. There were a couple of tactical pit stops earlier on when teams thought there might be a full course caution. That hasn't happened yet. Ricky Taylor leading by 8 tenths of a second over Pete Modirani, 10 from 31, Acura from Cadillac. It's a second Cadillac in third position. Another 10 seconds further back is the 48, the Allied Cadillac Mike Rockefeller's been in since the start. That's your top three there.
Yep.
LMP2, Ben Keating from pole position, staying in the 52. PR1 Matheson Kai's got almost a minute on Henrik Edmund for Dragon Speed, the 81, and Dwight Merriman for Aera is pressing the back of the Dragon Speed car. That's the number 18. They're battling for second. Gar Robinson, Riley Motorsports, leads. He's fought his way back after a spin whilst he was leading. He dropped down to sixth. Now leads again from Dan Goldberg, Performance Tech, 74 from 38. And Alec Yedell from Moolah Motorsport, the number six, the blue and white Duquesne, in third position. In GTD Pro, Tonio Garcia is now coming into the pits. He'll give up the lead in GTD Pro.
And he just came out of the pit lane, John, and he's ahead at the moment. Oh, there is the Corvette,
so he
heading towards turn three.
Up the lead.
But that battle that was behind, it was ahead of him, I should say, the Lamborghini and the Ferrari, they remain nose to tail. And we saw that pass by the Lamborghini just before the pit stops. That order has been retained. So Lamborghini ahead of the Ferrari, but the Corvette has leapfrogged them both with an extra lap on a fuel and tyres.
Yellow, green, red is not how traffic lights go, but that's how GTD Pro is at the moment. It's Corvette, Lamborghini and Ferrari. And in GTD itself, it's Brian Sellers for Paul Miller Racing in the BMW, from Michael Dinan for Turner Motorsport in the BMW, one from 96. And in third, it will be Maxi Goetz for the Allegra Mercedes, as John Potter has just pitted. Let's take some driver analysis of what's been going on. Share Adam in a moment, but first let's go to Joe Bradley.
The 59 Crucial McLaren is, we've just taken John Miller out of that car. John, have you poured water on yourself?
Yeah, first of all, thanks to Crucial Motorsports, McLaren Orlando, Race for RP, Relapsing Pollock and Dritis Foundation for even getting us here today. I'm super glad to be a part of this, and I'm working as hard as I can. As you can see, I'm covered in sweat, haven't poured water on myself. It's only going to get hotter today. And part of what we're trying to do today is to manage our energy, so both for the drivers and the cars. So we started off with single stints, and we'll kind of see how the weather plays out and how we're feeling. We've got a great physio taking care of us, getting us rehydrated, making sure that we're good to go all the way to the end of 12 hours.
And John, that means when you get out of the car, the thing to do is to get out of this pit lane and get somewhere cool, rather than speak to me, I would imagine.
Absolutely. I figured I'd do a favor and wait around a little bit, but I'm going to take off back to the trailer. We've got it cooled down with the AC, as cold as it'll go. I'm going to take all this wet stuff off and hopefully have some dry stuff to put back on later. But the balance of the car was kind of all over the place, with the track conditions. And we're hoping that as the night comes to us, as the track cools off, the balance comes back. That's kind of what we've set up for. And we're playing the long game today.
Well, from one Race for RP driver to another, Kyle Marcelli is fresh out of the Acura, the number 93 Racer's Edge. I say fresh because, well, I'm trying to be optimistic on this, Kyle. It's difficult out there, and the Acura is lacking certain driver comforts that you wish it had, right?
Yeah, we came into this one race deal a little bit late, but, just hats off to Harrison Contracting and Wayne Taylor Racing for pulling resources together, as well as Racer's Edge. I mean, this was a group effort to get here. And, we're not setting the expectations too high. We just want to finish this race, learn as much as we can. This is Ashton's first 12-hour, and, she's leaning on Tom and I to gain as much knowledge as possible. But in the rush, we didn't get to put any nannies in the car. So no AC, no cool suit, no helmet air. It's it's hot out there, and it makes it a real challenge, you know, especially when you're up against some of the modern, you know, stuff that they've just developed. They've had more time, and those drivers are a little more comfortable. But we'll give it our best shot.
After the big crash, and now you've got one stint under your belt, how are you feeling physically?
I'm sore. My neck and my upper back is sore, but to be honest, I'm a racer, and when I'm in the car, I don't even notice it. It's when I'm out of the car that I notice it. But yeah, just a really, really silly error yesterday, and you know, a fast car should always be able to go by a slow car on that run between 7 and 10, and I think it was just a lack of visibility by the TCR car, and you know, it is what it is. So, you know, I'm back today, and for me, it was about getting back on the horse, and as Travis Hoge, the team manager, said, I got to totally redeem myself.
Thanks, Kyle. Good luck today.
Thank you.
Good to hear Kyle Marcelli. And it was one of a couple of big accidents that we had yesterday in fast part of the circuit. The Toyota stood up very, very well. Actually, two Toyotas, weren't there, that had the big accidents. Yeah. The Super GR and then the GRO10. But good to hear him anyway. So let's check back in with the battles at the front of the field, where Pipo Durrani has taken the lead. Turn one last time around, it was the NTE Lamborghini that he needs to say thank you to, because Ricky Taylor tried to go around the outside, then swapped to the inside. Actually, I'll take that back there. I'm not sure the Lamborghini could have done anything else. It held its line on the inside. Ricky tried to go around the outside, couldn't make that happen, and had to check up. Drive-through penalties coming for two cars. This is at pit stop violations for the number 97, which is the WeatherTech Racing Mercedes, and it was improper fire bottle procedure, and the other one is the number 32, which is the Gilbert Korkoff Motorsports Mercedes AMG. So both of those cars are going to have to come down the pit lane.
So that change of leader, that's the second change of the lead. Number 31 back in front. Pipo Durrani ahead now of Ricky Taylor. Mike Rockefeller is about 6 seconds back in that third position. That's that gap came back down a lot in the last lap. A good lap from Mike Rockefeller. Relatively clean for him. Tom Blomqvist in the Acura for Meyer Shank Racing. The Daytona winner in fourth position ahead of Alex Lynn, who had that penalty earlier on. He's about a half a minute back. In the fifth place, the Calibre 02. Another half a minute back to Tristan Vautier in number five Cadillac. They've certainly been struggling in the early stages of this race. So, those are the only cars on the lead lap, the six leaders in DPI. The seventh car in DPI, that is a couple of laps off the ultimate pace. Sebastian Bourdais in the 01 car in 13th position after those two unscheduled stops very, very early in this race. In LMP2, Ben Keating has pulled out now over a minute over Henrik Hedman. Great job by Dwight Merriman, however, for Eero Motorsport to run up into third position ahead of, in the number 18 for Eero Motorsport, ahead of number 29 of Fritz van Eert, and then Stephen Thomas rounds out the top five in LMP2. LMP3, after the pit stops, it's Dan Goldberg who leads the class for Performance Tech Motorsports, car number 38, ahead of Alec Udell, who's had a baptism of fire, never driven an LMP3 car before. Night practice on Thursday, he did a couple laps kind of in the dusk at the beginning of the session, then did about did four or five laps there just to fulfil his nighttime requirement. You have to do a minimum of three laps in the dark. Then he went out later on and did about another six or seven laps. That's all the time Alec Udell has had in an LMP3 car. Pretty remarkable. He's running second place right now, and his last lap time was actually almost identically the same time as Dan Goldberg, who leads at the moment. Gar Robinson, after that spin earlier on in number 74, is in third position. ahead of Anthony Mantell in car number 7, number 54 for Court Autosport. Lead second place car pits.
The second place car into the pit lane, Conningham and Alta Acura, and this is taking a little longer to get the tyres on, but the fuel was still going in, so they're not losing any time at all there. And that's 22 laps since yep. their last stop. Jeremy, you'll be happy with that, are you?
Yep, that's about right, I reckon. 21, 22 laps we were thinking for most of the contenders in LMP, in DPI.
Let's check in with some more drivers. We'll go to the leading car in GT Daytona. Brian Sellers behind the wheel for Paul Miller Racing. Their first race with the BMW M4 GT3. They're having to learn all about front-engine cars. Shea Adam is with Madison Snow.
All right, Madison, your first stint in a front-engine car. How was it?
I mean, it was pretty good. It's actually, it was hot to get in the car, but then the car has AC in it this year, which is a big advantage over the cars I've always driven in the past. So it was pretty nice. And I mean, it's going to be a long race, but the car seems to be okay out there.
It's really not fair because I've just been interviewing other drivers up and down the pit lane who look like death. You look like you've been sitting inside the motorhome for the last 45 minutes. You sure you were driving the car?
I mean, it's hot in there and I'm sweating and everything, but it's definitely cooler than it would be without it.
Car feels good though?
Yeah, car seems pretty good. So long race ahead of us, but we survived the first stint in the new car, so we should be good.
Nice job. See you later.
Thank you.
Lot to learn for that team and for those drivers. And in comes the racing for Netherlands, Jumbo.com. This is the bright yellow prototype, and they've come in from fifth position. Fritz van Aert, the man who is Jumbo in the car. Good interview with him earlier in the week, and he was talking about, we were asking him if he was disappointed to have not got the call to be at Le Mans for 2022, one of the six cars that are on the reserve list. He said, look, I've done it five times. We said we wanted to do it five times. I'm concentrating on IMSA. And, you know, we thought we might be able to fit it in because there wasn't an IMSA race. The P2s aren't going to be at Detroit. We haven't had it. If we don't find out by Friday of next week, then we won't be going. Logistically, we can't do it anywhere. I thought he was rather sanguine and pragmatic about that, and he's really excited. More at the point, he wanted to talk about racing here in IMSA, Jeremy.
Yeah, I think he was clearly disappointed that he didn't get the entry to Le Mans, having supported it so staunchly over the last few years. But as you said, you know, it's certainly not the end of the world, and he is absolutely loving his racing in North America. Business-wise, it makes sense because he's opened his La Place restaurants in New York, San Francisco, and a few other cities as well, Los Angeles, certainly, and he's expanding the business over here. But he just loves his racing in North America.
The answer on the situation with those two fire bottle penalties that we called for you earlier on, Gilbert Courthoff AMG, and it was the WeatherTech AMG. The pins, the fire bottles were there, but the pins were in. See, that's something else that you add to your list to check when you get into a racing car or you've got your crew over the wall. Is the pin out? Sitting in the collecting area before you go out as a driver, you always have a little look. If it's not out, if you can stretch over to pull it out, otherwise you motion somebody over to do it. It's one of those things that you do. Scrutineering and post-race, you'd be disqualified if that was the case. You'd lose your position. It was the pins for the additional fire bottles, I should say, not for the cars. So for the guys on the wall when the fueling is going in, but it's as I say, those are things that you learn that if you haven't raced before, maybe you don't think about it. So as a driver, is the pin out? Yes. Do I know where reverse is? Yes. How do I start it? Oh yes, yeah, okay. And which way do I turn out of the garage, left or right? That always things to ask. Pit lane speed limit are always a good one. Some cars automatically have it when you're in first gear. Others automatically engage it as soon as you come down off the jacks as well, which is very nice to do. So you've only got to turn it off when you leave the pit and back on again when you come in. All these little things you add up. Brian Sellers leads in the Total Quartz grey, red and white Paul Miller Racing BMW with the bar across the grille and the IMSA stickers on there. I think that actually looks really good for that car. We've seen some good utilisation of neons behind the grille as well. The RLL cars have got the top part blue and the bottom part yellow and then reversed on the other car. It is the 50th anniversary year of BMW M Performance. The car suffered with a rear diffuser issue at Daytona, but we found out earlier in the week, Joe Bradley, that they kind of understood what had happened there, and it was all about the aero and the rake of the car.
All about the ride height, wasn't it? And the thing that you have here at Sebring is lots of ride height. You've got to jack the cars right up. In fact, you're carrying the highest level of ride height here at Sebring than anywhere else. It's because of the bumps and the turns here. But Daytona threw up a bit of an aero quandary, didn't it? It was basically sucking the car to the floor and ripping off the rear diffuser. And it was an anomaly that there's a lot of head scratching went on at BMW because of it. But they finally found out that to do with the rake of the car, which is basically the difference. The front end of the car is always, always lower than the rear. And it was that it's that rate of the difference between the front and the rear ride height. That's what you call the rake. And here we're running quite a high rake at the rear. And that seems to have been rectified the issue. So no issues. They tried to engineer it out, and there was really no need because the engineering was good. It was just that the way that the air was moving under the car, that was doing the job.
Bill Oberlin telling us that earlier on this week that they had indeed strengthened the mounts, but it was mainly that big aero drag that they were getting. Meantime, I like Cadillac in the pit lane. I heard the air hammers. That was out of second position, so that's new tyres on that car. Driver change, I think. Mike Rockenfeller brought that car in. So, let's see. It may have just been a drinks bottle. There was definitely something going on. I thought they were trying to help fasten a new driver in, and it is Jose Maria Lopez who did the warm-up this morning. So this is his first race laps, and we still haven't had the third driver in that car. And I don't mean in the race, I mean all week, because Kamui Kobayashi, like Jose Maria Lopez and indeed Mike Conway in the 31 car, they were the three Toyota drivers that Toyota said, yep, you can have them for the race, but not for any sessions before then. So quickly have a word with Jim McGuire, recently out of his car. Joe Bradley.
Well, literally just out of the car is Jim McGuire. Jim, you okay to speak? I know it's very, very hard work out there. You okay to talk to us? Are you okay to talk?
Yeah, it's pretty hot out there. You know, no, we were hoping for some yellow flags, but nothing happened there. So
Problem with the car. You have the whole system shut down?
Electrical cut out. I've recycled the engine and got going again, so.
It was as simple as that. Simple as that.
Yeah, luckily, yes. Hopefully, nothing comes back to haunt us later. But feel pretty good about it.
Yeah, Jim, I'm going to let you get cool. I'm going to let you go and cool off. Everyone working very hard here to keep that United Autosports number 22 on the road. And as you heard there, Jim McGuire confirming it was a system shutdown and a control alt delete situation.
Sometimes the bumps here can do all kinds of weird and wonderful things. Shea Adam has news of a driver change. Tom Blomqvist out of the Meyershank Racing Acura. Who's got in, Shea?
Ollie Jarvis, because he hasn't done enough driving so far this weekend in LMP2 machinery. That was yesterday for Ollie, but now he's back in his rightful place in the DPI. Fuel and four tires. They're getting ready to receive the 31 Whelen Engineering Cadillac as well. That's interesting because the last time that car pitted at least a lap after the Meyershank Acura did, might have even been two actually, and also into the pit lane will be the 02 Cadillac, I don't see Neil Johnny helmeted yet, but he could be just waiting back in the shade a little bit.
Nice to see Chelsea Jarvis here at the circuit as well earlier on today. Good day for Ollie Jarvis yesterday, taking the victory with young Josh Pearson and Paul DeResta for United Autosports in LMP2 WEC. Josh became the youngest ever World Endurance Championship driver. He was 16 on Valentine's Day this year. First WEC start, first WEC win. It's not always as easy as that, as we told him yesterday. Good drive by his two more experienced teammates as well. People in the pit lane. This is 22 laps as well, so that's spot on, Shea.
All right, well, if it's spot on, I'm not going to second guess you. It is fuel, tires, and driver change. Pipo Durrani getting out. Tristan Nunez getting in. Mike Conway, the third of the number seven Toyota drivers who is not allowed to participate. Still not allowed to participate in the race. Not quite yet for any other reason besides, well, Tristan wants to go after Pipo. We've also got the 81 Dragon Speed LMP2 car into the pits. That is Henrik Hedman out. Sebastian Montoya getting in for his first IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship start. They're doing fuel and tires on that car as well. Still waiting on the fuel. There we go. There goes Whelan Engineering. And Neil Johnny is getting into the 0-2. He's now up on the wall.
Door closes in the on the number 81 Formula Imports Support Ukraine Dragon Speed car. Flexbox deserve a lot of credit for that. Gave up their space on the rear fin and asked if they could have that replaced.
Did she say earlier that Neil Johnny took over from Alex Lynn?
Doing it now.
Oh, fine.
Yeah, absolutely. That car in the pit lane.
So he did, there wasn't a change on the last stop then?
Well, okay, Earl Bamber started the car, did he?
No.
Okay, so, you know, what happened, well, that's interesting, because I've got Earl Bamber who started that car. I don't think that was right at all, was it? It's a glitch in the time. So, Alex Lynn did 12 laps, then he did a short stint, and then he did 22 laps. So, it's been Alex.
All the way up until now.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Cool.
Tick that one off, Jeremy. Yep. So out in the Dragon Speed number 81, Sebastian Montoya continuing the family business. Young man who has proved himself to be very capable indeed in this sports car. How old is Sebastian, Jeremy?
Who?
Sebastian Montoya.
He's 16.
He's another. I was going to say another 16-year-old.
16-year-old, yeah.
And what's he doing? A bit of karting.
Yeah, lots of karting, and then he's been doing F4 in Europe recently. He's done some. I think he did some former regional Asia recently as well, which has gone fairly well. And he's been racing last year and a half or so in Europe in F4.
Henrik Hedman just out of the number 81 Dragon Speed. I'm not going to mention how hard these guys are working because I think everybody's in the same boat. Henrik, just tell me how the car's feeling after that first stint.
The car's been great the whole weekend and there's no difference today. It's on rails and the only thing is the traffic. It's a lot of traffic, so we've got to be careful, and especially for me, don't make any mistakes and just keep it on the track and let the big boys finish it tonight.
You've always been a tactical driver and just done the minimum driver requirement. Is that still the tactic today?
Yeah, I think the P2, the pro drivers are so good, so you can't really afford to joyride. So I think all of us are going to do the minimum time.
You certainly have got a strong team, two generations of Montoyas. You're doing something right getting those two on board.
Yeah, that's just been an amazing experience itself. No matter what happened this race, it's
Durrani,
cool.
Do you learn from someone like Juan Montoya? I would imagine it's hard not to.
Here's the thing. If you listen, you always learn. He will teach you, but you have to listen, and I have.
I can see that. Thanks, Henry.
Well, people, now you've had a couple of minutes out of the car. The heart rate comes down, but this is Sebring. Is there anything better than getting to race, particularly a Cadillac, at Sebring International Raceway?
Well, actually, the heart rate comes up when you're jumping out of the car. So, no, Sebring is fantastic. It's always a pleasure to drive around this track, especially with a fantastic car like the Cadillac DPI. So I'm enjoying myself out there. It's a hot day, very, very hot, and so pace yourself will be important towards the end of the race. So I have a great team. Tristan is out there now, then Mike. I'll be jumping back in a few times, a couple more times, I believe. So, yeah, enjoying the moment and having fun out there.
It's two cars, two different team names, but ultimately six drivers in one family. How much help did you get from the three guys who ran the WEC race yesterday with information for today?
Yeah, of course, the 48 is it's the same team as us, so it's great to have the ability to share information with them. Mike has been driving alone all the practice, so I feel sorry for him having such a hot day today, but I'm sure Kobayashi and Lopez will make sure that he gets a little rest, finally. So, it's been great. We have a great car, we have a great team. We have enough information to have a good car for the end of the race, so I think we just got to get there.
Pippo, great first stint. Can't wait to see what you do in the next.
Thank you.
What he'll do in the next, it'll be Pippo. He'll just go quickly. Oh, a little bit long for Sebastian Montoya at turn 10 there. Drops the left-hand rear Michelin over the edge of the blue and white curb. Got to be careful coming back on that you don't cut the shoulder there. Formula Regional Asia, finished seventh.
Exactly.
Yeah, very good.
And he's now a minute behind Ben Keating, who still stays aboard that number 52 car. The Iron Man again, he is a remarkable character, isn't he, Ben Keating? Those two are about 5 seconds only ahead. Montoya is of Dylan Murray, who has taken over from the team owner Fritz van Eert in the number 29 racing for Netherland. And then Josh Pearson's about a half a minute back in car number 11. Ryan DeYell has taken over the wheel of the number 18 car, running in fifth position after a good stint by Dwight Merriman to start this race. In LMP3, battle has been going on for the last few laps. Dan Goldberg still leads for Performance Tech, but pretty much right behind him is Alec Udell. The gap fluctuates a little bit according to traffic. And just an excellent first stint from Alec Udell, first time ever in a prototype car. Garth Robinson, the defending series champion, is about 24 seconds back in third position. John Bennett, defending race winner in LMP3, is about another 20 seconds behind Garth in car number 54 for Core Autosport. GTD Pro, who are kind of next up in line, not too far behind him. Antonio Garcia, he still leads in the Chevrolet Corvette by about a couple of seconds over the continuing to battle Lamborghini and Ferrari, Marco Mappelli and David Arrigo now at the wheel of those cars respectively. And then only a second or so behind them, the two factory BMWs, Augusto Farfus and Nick Yellerly. So we've got the top, five cars in GTD separated by about 5 seconds, i.e. not very much.
Little VP Racing Fuel updates there. Those are the cars at the moment that are making power. Don't forget, after the race tonight, the checkered flag ends the race, but only starts the conversation. Michelin countdown to green. We had earlier on. We'll have post-race tech from Michelin later on. Hashtag Michelin PRT. You can start tweeting in now at IMSA Radio using that hashtag Michelin PRT. If there's things that you're seeing in the race now, get that in. We'll start looking at them later on in the race. But hashtag Michelin PRT for post-race tech. Your comments, observations or points arising. And Jeremy and the team and I will go through that with a few interviews as well once the checkered flag has fallen. Hello to Sven Mesman, tuning in from the Netherlands.
good to have your company today. Racing for Netherlands, the jumbo car, the Jumbo car out there in the fight at the moment. A lot of good Dutch drivers who have been helped out down through the years from Frits van Aert. And great to have Frits. What a character he is. Brilliant stuff. Did a good stint earlier on as well. That's Dylan Murray behind the wheel of that car. Running in third place at the moment, Sven. I know you'll be supporting everyone. At IMSA Radio, if you want to get in touch with us on Twitter, imsaradio.com for not just the audio, you can take us with you if you're in the car, RS2, stream it through your Bluetooth from your smart device. But if you're in a territory that does not have a TV deal, then you can hit the world feed by hitting the live video button. Drama in the pit lane. Shea Adam.
I can't see it up close, John, but I'm pretty sure the Carbon Lamborghini, which just came in for its service, has a lot of white smoke pouring out from the engine cover. It's the complete opposite end of the pit lane. As a Cadillac is back in, it's the 0-1 once again. I think this one is going behind the wall potentially. They just had it in here with the engine cover off. Ryan Hunter-Reay sitting behind the wheel of the car. Carbon Lamborghini is still not moving, though. I can't be entirely sure, but my brain says that that was white smoke of fire. 0-1 is coming back into its box for more work. So the Cadillac Racing Team with a bit more work to do, and the engine cover coming off again. What a heartbreaking day for this organization.
It was Robert McGuinness who brought the car bomb with Peregrine Lambo in, and Ryan Hunter-Reay, who has trundled to his pit stall. The lightweight rear deck has come off, and there's a problem with the engine, and they've got somebody looking into it, literally. Robert McGuinness is going again, so maybe it was fire extinguisher going off there on that car. Hello to Michael Wallace, who's tweeted at IMSA Radio. He says, I think burnouts after a pit stop are one of the best-selling features for IMSA. Some series rather frown on that. But
WC are not allowed to do it.
Allowed to spin the wheels.
In IMSA, you can't spin the wheels when the car's up on the jacks, but as soon as it's down again, you can do whatever you like.
Yeah, so long as you don't speed. As you're in control of the car and you don't hit the pit lane. It's happened at Le Mans. I think Ben Keating's Ford was... The year that Ben Keating won the race, he was penalised for wheel spin. And then, of course, the win was taken away because of the fuel tank issues on the Monday, where the post-race scrutineers seemed not to know the difference between volume and weight. But I've pushed the soapbox away for that one. Joe Bradley has made his way to the Carbon Lamborghini pit. And was there a bit of X-Wing? Oh, the car has now stopped on the circuit, Joe. What happened at the pit stop?
Well, what I think Shea has mentioned smoke of some sort coming from that number 39 Lamborghini. As I got down here, the crew are all leaving the pit box area, jumping onto carts and scarpering out the back, and I presume the car might have gone behind the wall, but you're reporting the car out on track, stopped.
It's on the grass at the moment at about turn 7 or 8 there. 8, yes, it is 8 at the moment, and it looks like they're trying to get it pointing in the right direction. Robert McGuinness behind the wheel. In fact, he's reversing the car. Is he trying to get it behind the wall, Joe?
I've got Chris Lewis Corey Lewis from the team. Corey, we're just speculating here. Put us right.
Yeah, it seems like Rob had taken in some debris. It looked like a plastic bag, a shopping bag that got stuck into the radiator and tended to overheat the engine. We came in, and it was just spewing a bunch of coolant. So right now, we're trying. Looked like the temps were coming down on telemetry, but obviously we're overheating. We lost a lot of coolant, so... we'll try to get back to the hauler, fill it back up, and see if we can salvage something here.
Right, thanks, Corey. Thanks for telling us that. Never a good thing, and very, very hard to get back when you've overheated an engine to that extent. You invariably damage things. You break head gaskets and the like, and it's very hard to come back from that.
There was a huge heat haze from the engine compartment of that car. It's clearly running very hot indeed, that Lamborghini V10 engine. Let's pick up one or two battles on the circuit then, with Tristan Nunez now leading in the leading Cadillac, the 31 Whelan Engineering car, with 5 seconds over Ricky Taylor in second for Cunningham and Alta. The Ally Cadillac number 48 is third, the white and shades of purple. And then 18 seconds further back, it is Mayershank Racing and Ollie Jarvis. It's only 4/10 of a second ahead of Tristan Mortis. In fact, 40 has gone through, has he, Jeremy?
Well, they were side by side as they went across the start finish line. Yeah. 0.029 separated them as they went across start finish line. And on board the number 60 car, that would appear to be Tristan Vautier ahead.
Yeah, I think
so
it is. Yeah.
The number 5 car struggled through the first stint, but clearly now it's more to the liking of Tristan Vautier, and he makes that pass for what is 4th position.
Hello to Martin J, tuned in to D or M, Yorkie Dom, Michael, we've mentioned Michael Wallace. Hello to Richard P, good to know you're tuned in as well. Coming up to just under 10 and a half hours still to go. What a first hour and 35 minutes we have had in terms of the drama here, with all kinds of quite well fancied entries.
Yeah, that's true.
Hitting it? Trouble in what I think was the first 5 minutes or so, Jeremy. It was mental, absolutely mental. Battle for second in GT Depot Pro with Antonio Garcia ahead by about 3 seconds after that pit stop exchange. So going the extra lap for Corvette really worked for them. They got out ahead of both the TR3 Racing Lamborghini, the green car, and the red Ricci Competizione, now in the hands of Marco Mappelli and Davide Rigon. They're still having their battle as they come through traffic.
Yeah, and that second and third place battle between the Ferrari and Lamborghini, now the Lamborghini and Ferrari, it's gone on from the very beginning of this
Absolutely.
Race, or every inch of it since then. They've both been caught by both of the BMW M Team RLL BMW M4s, and as we just saw, one of those BMWs, I think that was Augusto Farfus, got past Davide Rigon in the Ferrari. Right behind them also is Nick Yellerly, and about 10 seconds farther back down the road is Aaron Tielitz, who's running 6th in the Lexus, well clear of the two Porsches of Julian Andlauer in car number 79 and car number 9 of Felipe Nasr. Felipe Nasr, yes, in a Porsche GTD car. It's so weird.
It's odd, isn't it? Yeah, I know. I still can't get with... I was sitting talking to him the other day, Jimmy Bruni, and I still can't get used to him in his Porsche overalls. And he's been there for four seasons now. I remember what Rick Mayer said to Shea Adam in our Michelin Countdown to Green. They have set the car up for the last 2 hours of the race. They know they're going to have to take the pain now. Well, there's not that much pain. They're running very, very well. So if that car's got some extra performance to give later on, that is very, very good news indeed for them. And as you say, the Augusto Farfus, driven number 25, having moved up now to third position, that BMW for M Team RLL. News coming, by the way, yesterday, I think it was. And again, thanks to John De Geese for asking the questions around the paddock. Sports Car 365's founder and managing editor. RLL will be going down to one car after this race. And that is so that they can concentrate on the development of the Dallara LMDH BMW. So they're going to roll part of the team into full development of that car ahead of its debut at the Rolex 24 Hours of Daytona in January next year.
Yeah, so kind of good news and bad news. Yeah, bad news, we're going to have only going to have the one BMW Team RLL entry in GTD Pro, but good news that BMW and that Indianapolis-based team are going to be able to concentrate on getting ready for the 23 season, which of course is hugely exciting with that new LMDH car. Both John Edwards and Conor De Filippi, good friends. They live close to each other nowadays in North Carolina. Connor's originally from the West Coast, from San Clemente, and John Edwards is originally from Kentucky. But they're good buddies. They get along really well together. They hang out together. And they are very, very excited about doing the full season in this M4. The balance of performance wasn't right, really, for the BMW for the first round at Daytona. But the IMSA technical team seems to have done a super job of rectifying that. They've given the BMWs a bit of a break here, a little bit more power, a little bit less weight. And the car is now competitive with the other contenders in GTD. And both of those two drivers taking advantage of it. Augusto Farfus in the primarily red car, number 25, is up now into the third position in GTD Pro. But the top five cars covered by still very little.
Just a quick note about the car barn Lamborghini. The brilliant Alan Prosser, Lanzarotti Camel, has done a screen grab and zoomed it and sent it to me. And the windscreen is entirely opaque on that car when it was pulled over. So not a surprise it was pulled over to the side of the road. Now, whether that is because of the heat inside the car or there's fluid spraying around there, but Robert McGuinness probably couldn't see very much at all halfway around the track. Remember, I think, Shea, you said, didn't you, that you tried to look through the passenger window and couldn't see in. We thought it might have been extinguishing. It might have just been condensation or some kind of fluid spray.
Yeah, that's true, too. It looked a bit like Casper the Friendly Ghost was pressing himself up against the window, though. It was that dense of a whiteness on the passenger window. So I have no idea how Robert got that far around the track.
And Shea, did the 0-1 go back behind the wall? Has that come back out again?
It went back out. It's back in. And it's driving down the pit lane. It's going behind the wall again. Very, very slowly. Listen.
Oh, so it's in right now.
That's it, just driving by me right now. That's about a third of the pit lane speed limiter, I would say.
Thank you, Shea. Getting a few questions.
That was a 0-1 car, wasn't it?
Yeah, 0-1 again.
And the number 0-2 car has been pretty quiet since the opening stint. We saw the number 0-2 car was started by Alex Lynn, who was very, very quick right off the beginning of the race, was running in third position. You know, Gianni at the wheel of that car now, of course, Lynn got a drive-through penalty for overtaking somebody else under yellow flags, and a different class car. And had to serve that penalty, and since then the number 0-2 car is running kind of at the tail end of the lead lap, but Neil Gianni doing everything he needs to do at this stage in the race, just trying to turn consistent laps. He's not a regular driver for Cadillac. He's stepping in to this long distance race after Kevin Magnussen was called up by Haas F1. So Neil Gianni, a former pole sitter here at Sebring, of course, for the Rebellion team, that was, wasn't it? Half a dozen years ago.
Very good driver.
Lovely opportunity to get back to race here in North America.
Very, very tidy driver indeed.
Just a good guy too, isn't he?
Yeah, lovely. Yeah. Always good to talk to. Shea Adam, down in the pit lane. Let's talk to some more drivers before the next set of pit stops comes around. She's got Tristan Vautier.
A very, very wet Tristan Vautier, because you got out of the car very sweaty and then poured a bottle of water over yourself. I asked if it helped, and you said, for now. The 5 Mustang sampling car, it doesn't have the creature comforts that you would hope it does, but how is it driving around this track?
Yeah, it's okay, to be honest. The car is not bad at all. I think just the Ganassi and the 31 are a bit better than us on pace, but this start of the race was about kind of management. We had to start with those qualifying tires, which were very damaged from the spin. So I had to be very conservative, make sure, you know, we keep the four tires safe on the car. There was vibration, there was no grip. So we knew we would fall back, and then kind of got into a rhythm. Traffic is very sketchy, especially at the start of the race. You know, it's the drivers with less experience in those LMP3s, LMP2s, and the GTD cars. So it was good. I think we're okay. I think we have a good car for the night. And no head down. We try to stay in the game and be there when it matters.
You guys went off strategy. Is that going to help you in the long run?
We're not sure, but we didn't really have a choice because we didn't want to go all the way on that first stint with those tires. We were scared of having a tire explode or something because some of them didn't look great after the spin. But all good. It's a long race. We got to stay in the hunt and work towards the last 2-3 hours.
Thanks for talking to us.
Thank you.
John, he's excellent exhausted. Interview. You can hear it in his voice.
You could hear it in his voice. We heard it all day yesterday with the highly horned athletes in the FIA WEC. Battles in the GT Daytona category. And Ferrari with Lexus and BMW. Lexus stays out the way because that Ferrari is under real pressure now from Nick Yellerly. In the Ferrari at the moment, it's Augusto. It is Davide Rigon. Nick Yellerly, Augusto Farfus' teammate, trying to go through. This is a battle for fourth and fifth position in GTD Pro. And they are very, very close together. Also, as I say, in the mix, the RCF number 12. That car is the standard GTD category, if you like. Frankie Montecalvo in the non-pro version of the car. The 14 is the pro car. He's down in 11th position in the GTD class and dutifully steered out the way from that battle, keeping his eyes on his mirrors. He's got to be a bit careful because there is a car... Oh, that is the WeatherTech... No, it's not the WeatherTech car at all behind him. Just trying to see if he was racing somebody behind him. He's not, so that's all right. But he let them through. The Lexus team deciding, Jeremy, to split between the GTD Pro and Am for their efforts this year. So still the two cars, still distinctive in those yellow and black colours. But the 14 is the Pro car and the 12 is the Am. Nick Yellerly taking the opportunity to stick his nose up in the inside of the Red Ricci Competizione of Davide Rigon. They're still side by side as the battle for fourth position. And finally, as the BMW goes through, that's at turn three, through past the palm tree grove on the driver's right hand side into the carousel. But remember what Rick Mayer was saying earlier on, they've set that car up for later in the day.
Yeah, well, so has everybody.
Well, I think,
but,
so
but it's certainly interesting to see the BMW just gradually moving up here. No question about it. It was a little bit, it was never far behind, but it certainly closed in, and it's running very, very, very nicely at this stage in the game. All of the BMW is running well in GTD regular, non-pro. Brian Sellers has taken over from Madison Snow. He leads in GTD, 26th position overall, and he's about 7 seconds ahead of Maxi Goetz in the Allegra Motorsports Mercedes. Third position is the second of the privateer BMWs for Turner Motorsport, about, 16, 17 is further back in third position. That's car number 96. And then fourth in the class in GTD is the AF Corsa Ferrari, the Argentinian Luis Perez Componc at the moment at the wheel of that car. He's about another 20 seconds back and about 10 seconds ahead of Till Bechtelsheimer in the Gradient Racing Acura. So in GTD, it's BMW, Mercedes, BMW, Ferrari, Acura, spin for car number 47.
Chetilar Ferrari has gone around, but is pointing in the right direction. That again was right opposite Palm Court at the carousel. Turn number three, Christensen Curve, as into the pit lane comes the number 11. LMP2 car. I was just pausing there because Josh Pearson doing double duty this weekend after his win yesterday in class PR1 Matthews Motorsport. I was just looking, there is damage on that back tyre. Just the angle that I was looking at there, I couldn't decide whether there was damage or not. The left rear tyre, Jeremy, with damage on that car.
Yeah, it's sort of pretty much completely off the rim, isn't it? It's completely flat and it's wrapped itself around it. Thankfully, it hasn't come apart. Well, it has come apart, actually. But the bodywork around that, thankfully for the team, at least at this stage, seems to be okay. So Josh Pearson doing a good job to get that car back without any flailing rubber in there.
16-year-old
Josh Pearson, let's not forget. Two 16-year-olds in this race, and Josh already a World Endurance Championship class winner, courtesy of yesterday. He's got a busy programme this year, bouncing backwards and forwards between PR1 Matheson here in the US and his duties with United Autosports in the World Endurance Championship. The young man who is very well thought of by Richard Dean and Zach Brown, who look after him in United.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he's a talented kid, no question about it. I mean, he raced last season in the on the road to Indy in the first step of that ladder in USF 2000, and did pretty respectably for one so young, for goodness sake.
Yeah, he was actually too young to race in Abu Dhabi in the, I think, in the first races of the, in Dubai rather, in the first races of the Asian Le Mans Series, because he hadn't turned 16.
Well, he was too young to race at Daytona, in actual fact, but he was given a waiver. I think somebody actually didn't look at the date of birth.
Oh, really? Because he must have still only been 15.
Correct.
At that point.
Yeah, Valentine's Day, he was...
That's right.
A couple of weeks before his birthday, but he was given a waiver to complete that first race.
Starting another set of pit stops at the front of the field. Another 22 lap stint for the Konica Minolta Acura number 10. Ricky Taylor is heading towards Sheer Adam.
He'll be hanging out here for a while longer too, because Will Stevens is taking him his first ever race stint during the Mobil 1 12 hours this evening. Ricky out. Will is now disappearing into the cockpit of that car. We've got four new Michelin tires, and let's see, waiting on one more to be secured. Drop the car off the air jacks now, there we go, and just waiting on fuel. So a good stop for the Konica Minolta team. We are expecting more pit stops. In is the 28 Allegra, Michael De Quesada bringing that car, starting the car. I think it was Maxim Goetz taking over. That car looks like normal service as well. Fuel and tires there. And we have just had the 97 Mercedes from WeatherTech Racing into the pit lane. Cooper McNeil got out of that car, and it was Jules Gagnon taking over. But the sister car, the 79, is expected in here soon. I do not see another. Oh, there we go. Yep, there's another driver up on the wall. So if it's Ann Lauer who started, it'll be Piccarello who takes over at this point, because Cooper has not had enough time out of the car to recover, but he has had enough time out of the car to where we can interview him. So that's my next target, John.
Thank you, Shea. Very close call at turn three, involving the number 81. That is the Sebastian Montoya driven Dragon Speed car. He's trying to chase down Ben Keating for the lead of LMP2. He's got it down to 15.6 seconds. There was no touch. He's all right. It was forceful up the inside. He made it work. He's definitely trying to make up ground on Ben Keating. That was at turn three. And at turn... where's that, Jeremy? That's 13, isn't it, as he went through. Again, there's just enough room. There's a Dragon Speed car's width and about an inch either side there. But young Montoya is certainly turning the wing up and trying to drag that gap down between himself and the leader. 13.3 seconds in LMP2. That's Evel Knievel, Stars and Stripes, with the extra blue and white on it for Ukraine this weekend. That space donated by Flexbox, and they asked Elton Julian and the team if they could replace their logo with the supporting Ukraine. Can't quite see Ben Keating ahead of him. He's going down to turn seven now to the hairpin, and Keating is just a bit further round the track. There'll be places where if he looks across the track, he might be able to see Keating. He'll be getting some information from his team, of course, down the inside into turn at number 10. Quite bumpy down there. Meantime, let's go to WeatherTech and to Sheer Adam with Cooper McNeil.
Well, Cooper, is that you done in the Mercedes at this point?
yeah, all done. It was hot out there. And spotter timing wasn't working, so didn't have any eyes behind me. I had to do it myself, which old school way, which is fine, nothing wrong with that. But it just got busy a few times. But the car is clean, had no contact. had a little grass excursion on the way on the in lap, which no big deal, no harm, no foul. But yeah, we had some penalty that shouldn't have happened, but a long way to go, and we'll get it back.
Talking about the Porsche now, turning your focus to that car, how long of a break do you get before you get in the other Stuttgart-based manufacturer?
Not long enough. No, in order to not blow the 4 and 6 rule, I think I got about 2 hours out. So a little massage and some stretching, and I'll be back in.
Good luck the rest of the way.
Thank you.
Thanks, Cooper.
Shea Adam with Cooper McNeil down there. A couple of penalties to talk about. One of them that we were talking about earlier on with a car that was driving down the middle of the track when being lapped. That was the number 59 car, Shea.
Yep, penalty for blocking. That is not a penalty we ever see called, really, in IMSA. It's very rare. Drive-through for Crucial Motorsport and not McLaren. We've got another penalty, though. Car 11, this is the blue PR1 Matheson Motorsport machine. More than the number of permitted crew members over the wall considered working on the car. That, too, is a drive-through.
Yeah, and we saw that earlier on. So they have been assessed. Risk control looking at that all the way through. And both being served right now as in comes the Turner Motorsport Liquid Moly red, white and blue car. Had to get pushed back into its pit because they pitted right in front of the Mulner Motorsport LMP2. It's brand new Michelin tyres going on there. They actually do have the stickers on. You can always tell new Michelins because they're a little bit shiny, but they do have the stickers on. So when we say sticker tyres here, we absolutely mean it. Tyres are done. Fuel hose is still in. There's going to be, I think, a tear off from the screen. Yeah, lift the rinse screen right, we'll slap it back down. The Mulner car is almost ready to go. They're going to have to push that car back to get out. That's the number 6 prototype. The LMP comes through and down, fired and away for the Liquid Moly car. Shea has more pit stops at her end of things.
It's a single stint for Ashton Harrison in the 93 Acura for Racer's Edge. Tom Long suited and booted, ready to get in that car. We've also got the 48 Ally Racing Cadillac. That's new tires, no driver change. So clearly, Jose Maria Lopez enjoying his time behind the wheel. 21 laps for that stint. We've got the PR1 Matheson Motorsports car in the 52. This one is the Wins liveried car. There must have been a spinner out on track because a lot of people are starting to jump up on the wall at this point. But Ben Keating gets out of the 52 and hobbles over to the wall. He's done a lot of driving so far this weekend. I'll give him full credit for that, but I do need to interview him because he almost took me out leaving his pit box at one point on. We've got Andrea Caldarelli up on the wall for the TR3 Lamborghini. That number 63 machine will be coming in here shortly. And who else did I see? Oh, the 47 was in. That's the Cetelar Racing Ferrari. And it looked like that was a drive-thru change, but I can't tell you who got in. I would imagine it's Roberto Laporta.
They are under investigation for contact with the high-class racing number 12. Everything's happened to the high-class car. They've been booked.
Hit or be hit, which we don't know. We didn't have
seen
it, so we don't know.
The magnets in the carbon fibre magnets in the high-class car.
I'll tell you what, I think Ben Keating is one, he's going to be one cooked hot dog when he gets out, when he talks to any of our pit lane reporters, because
he may have to write it down.
I think he was struggling towards the end of that stint. He right. said at the before the start of the race he was going to be struggling. He said it was going to be super hard out there, which it is, and he's going to be pretty tired.
So that means that Sebastian Montoya has taken over the lead of that category, but he must be due a stop in about 3 laps time. Yeah. Round about 3 laps time for Sebastian Montoya. It's Scott Huffaker who's taking over what was the pole sitting car. In fact, here's Sebastian Montoya is into the pit lane now. So that will be a 20-lap stint for that car. Adam is going to give Ben a little recovery time before she sticks a microphone under the nose. Side-by-side GT action at turn one. 79 WeatherTech Porsche being passed by the number 24 BMW. That is Nick Yellerly in second position now after the pit stop for TR3's Lamborghini Huracan. Marco Bappelli bringing that car in.
And the sister BMW of 2025 that's just been in the pits as well. Felipe Nasser also making a pit stop in car number 9.
Fuel and tyres for the Lamborghini.
TR3 car that's been at the front of the field. And Adam tells me there's a driver change there as well.
Marco Mappelli getting out, and Andrea Caldarelli is now in that car. They are just waiting on the fuel at this point. Andrea fires the car back up. Waiting for the fuel nozzle. Still attached. There you go.
There you go. As simple as that. And just like that, they're fueled and gone. Who is in the 79 WeatherTech Porsche at the moment? They lost a bit of ground at the start of the race. It is Alessio Pigliarello. And he is actually keeping pace with the BMW of Nick Yellerly, who's just gone by him. Let him bike. He's not in the fight with that car. That's the engine you can hear behind me. Actually, you can probably more hear the straight cut gears from the gearbox than the flat six engine. Yeah, he's done a good job to steer with the BMW that went by a couple of laps ago. It's just gone through another hour of racing. Time for me to remind you, you're listening to IMSA Racing. It's live. It's the WeatherTech Sports Car Championship in the Mobil 1 12 hours of Sebring from Sebring International Raceway.